Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. Thanks for tuning back in with us. This is Faye Davis, and today I am talking with Carolyn Rowley, who is the Director of Business Recruitment and Innovation at the Lubbock Economic Development Alliance, or as they lovingly refer to it as LEDA. Carolyn is a top 50 awardee this year for the North America's top 50 economic developers. And she has a really unique viewpoint on economic development because her father was actually an economic developer. She also shares why LEDA has added a focus on innovation and entrepreneurialism over the last 10 years and how they partner with their local education institutions. And she also talks about her strategies in keeping that work-life balance and even those boundaries between work and life, especially important right now while she's still working from home. So let's listen into Carolyn's interview. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the America's Jobs Team podcast. I am here today with Carolyn Rowley, who is the Director of Business Recruitment and Innovation at the Lubbock Economic Development Alliance. And Carolyn is one of our top 50 award recipients of this year. So Carolyn, welcome. I'm so glad to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Awesome. Well, let's dive in if you're ready to go. First things first, how did you get into economic development? Like, what did you go to school for? What does your path look like? And how did you end up where you are right now?
Well, that's a really good question. I think, you know, as economic developers, we all have a different response to that. I'm probably one of the few. My father was an economic developer. And so I went to Texas Tech University here in Lubbock, Texas. And upon getting close to graduating with a marketing degree, was trying to figure out how am I going to plug that in to something and make money and get off my parents' payroll. And so I did a couple internships here in Lubbock. I got some professors to sponsor me. I did an internship with the Lubbock Chamber of Commerce, and I did one with the Campfire Council Girls. One had more candy than the other. Campfire did, because they sold candy as a fundraiser. So that was interesting. But I really was excited and got my fire burning in my belly to learn more about economic development through the Chamber of Commerce, because I felt like when I went to those board of directors meetings as a early 20-something person, I felt like I was in the know of the community. They were talking about all the things that were impacting their companies and legislation. And I just felt like I was at a table of everything that was happening. And I really got excited about that. And that's just got me excited about it. It's what my dad did. So I have followed in his footsteps.
That's actually super fascinating, because I don't think I have ever talked to anybody on a podcast interview or listened in for the America's Jobs Team podcast that has a parent who was an economic developer. So I would love to know, how do you feel like your mindset is a little bit different looking at economic development than people that, generally speaking, fall into the profession, right? And don't a lot of people often say we had no previous knowledge of economic development, didn't even realize it was a thing. And here's you have a father who was in it. So how does that shape your outlook, you think?
It has a tremendous impact on me, or shapes my outlook, just because I had a mentor. I had a mentor built in that when I would go home for holidays or long weekends, I could ask questions of how did you do this, and have some pretty candid answers. And, you know, how it goes with the father-daughter type of relationship. There were times that we disagreed on how things should be handled. But nonetheless, I had a mentor built in. He did it from the very beginning. In the beginning, they called it industrial development. He will turn 90 this year.
Oh my
he
gosh.
Still calls it industrial development.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, it's funny because he dates it a little bit with his language that he uses. It was the Industrial Development Council and Industrial Development, and then it has progressed to economic development because, you know, at the time they were trying to bring more industries to their communities to help share that tax burden from the citizens of funding all the services that they needed. And as we have progressed with our profession, we realize it's more than just manufacturing that we're bringing. We're bringing some other things to our community. They're very, very important to our community.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome to hear. So flipping just a little bit, thinking about the year 2020, right? The roaring 20s and the 1920s were amazing and roaring in their own way. Well, we've roared into this century in the 20s in a completely different way between the economic, the halt and the restart and the halt again, and the pandemic and social unrest, and probably the most wildly interesting political season that we've ever seen. I'm curious, what has been your biggest personal challenge in that time, and how have you navigated yourself through that?
I would say my biggest personal challenge is just staying motivated and trying to avoid burnout, because everything connected. It didn't seem like there was any stop to anything. While we weren't coming into the office and we weren't meeting face to face, we just reinvented the way we connected. And so Zoom meetings were happening and staff meetings were occurring that way. And so I found myself continually working and taking less and less breaks.
Yeah.
And that was a real challenge of where are the boundaries here? Because I'm just moving from one room here in my house to that room there, which was a great commute. I loved that.
It definitely adds 15 minutes to your morning. It's nice.
Yeah, and grab a piece of toast and a cup of coffee and venture on into the guest room. But that was the hardest part. It's just learning to set some personal boundaries and taking a minute to rest mentally. Yeah.
Well, and you're so right, because that boundary does, especially at the beginning of last year when we didn't really know how serious this was, right? Like how incredibly contagious it could be or could not be. And working in your house and you're always on, your computer is right there. That temptation to be like, oh, so-and-so emailed me, I'll just answer it right now real quick. And you just keep whittling away from your own personal time. So I'm glad you said it. And it's such a relatable challenge that you had. So what are some things that you do to reestablish those personal boundaries between life, your own life and your work life?
So I looked around our community to see what others were doing. I have a son who is a ballet dancer. We have a ballet company here in Lubbock. And so I'm also on that email thread and following them on social media. And they were trying to engage the community as well. And one thing I do recall were like stretch at lunch on Wednesdays. And so they would have a Zoom and one of their instructors from their home would do just stretches that everybody should be doing, particularly all of us sitting at desk and in front of a computer. Mm-hmm. And so I found myself going, okay, you know, today on Wednesday at 12 o'clock, I'm going to take my iPad. I'm going to go into the backyard and I'm going to do these stretches with this ballet instructor who's local. So I kind of felt connected with my community.
I love that.
I felt like I took a breather. And that kind of led to some other habits. My son was at home. He's in high school. And so we would take time and stop our computers and do something, either take dogs for a walk or take them to the dog park, you know, be in a community of that type of park, take bike rides, but something to change your setting from being just still and in front of a computer to being outside and getting the sunlight and moving, because those things were really important to your health and my health.
I love that. And that's great advice. You know, even that quick change of scenery will sometimes pull you out of that, like, but everything is so important. Everything is of dire, you know, priority right now. So let's look ahead to this year. You have a little bit of an interesting perspective because you do focus on innovation and maybe a little bit of entrepreneurialism in your role. So what do you think is in store for this year, and how is your organization looking towards that innovation and entrepreneurial piece? And what are some things that you're seeing in Lubbock that might not be on other economic developers' radars?
It's a good question. So innovation, entrepreneurship is part of our role here at LEDA. It was something that we discovered in a strategic planning session about 10 years ago that was a piece that we had left out of our economic development scope. You know, mainly economic developers focus on retention, your business retention, expansion, and then recruiting new companies. And what we found out was that entrepreneurial spirit, that innovation part, was left out. So what we did is we engaged with our local university, Texas Tech University, and worked with them to develop a set of series of programs that would help spur that idea of, hey, this university is already doing research and coming up with great ideas. What if we got with Texas Tech and tried to encourage those researchers to think about solving world problems, as opposed to doing research for the purpose of research and being published? What if they solved a world problem and they created something or solved something here in Lubbock, Texas? So we wanted them to know that Lubbock, the city, essentially appreciates that and that we support that. So should they spin off and become their own company? And they understand that the community really appreciates that. Lubbock showed them some love. And if they open a company, maybe they open it here. And maybe they stay here. Maybe they go to the West Coast or the East Coast and get other funding. But we know that entrepreneurs start a company and they sell it, they start another company. And so we're hoping that if it wasn't their first or their second, maybe the third one they bring back home, and it's an Apple or a Dell or something of that nature. You don't know where those things start. And so we wanted to invest in that. But we really partner with the university and they lead most of those programs.
I love that. I think it's so indicative of your culture there and what you're trying to do as an organization. And that entrepreneurial piece, especially right now, it feels like going into 2021, after the year that we've had, entrepreneurs are really running with what is possible. And I feel like we're going to see a changing landscape because of all of these ideas. So I love that you and your organization are so supportive of that spirit there.
You know, one other thing, Faye, I'll add to entrepreneurials. I am sitting as a judge on a President's Innovation Award. So Texas Tech has two universities here in Lubbock, the Texas Tech University and the Texas Tech Health Science Center. So it's a medical school. So both universities have presidents, and it's called the President's Innovation Award. But so I sat and I read through 20 different ideas that are going to be, they need funding to be launched. And so we have different thresholds that they can be awarded. The ideas that I saw coming from the President's Innovation Award are very in line with what we've seen. They're solving the problems of PPE. How do we get that to people, like the distribution of it? That was one idea from an entrepreneur. Another was some type of easy, quick test, rapid testing, another method of that. So a lot of the things that were coming out of the labs and ideas that could be patented and spun off are trying to solve the problem of the pandemic. So I thought it was kind of interesting.
That's fascinating. And it's so necessary right now, especially because we don't know what's coming. We don't know what's needed. We don't know, you know, that this year is sure to be another year full of twists and turns, I am convinced. I wanted to ask you one last question. Time flies when we're having a good time. But I wanted to ask you one last question. With the pace of work, we talked already a little bit about how you were battling that teetering that on that line of burnout and setting those boundaries. And it's because of our incredibly fast pace of work right now. It feels like this last year, these changes were already going to come, but it's just accelerated us into this incredible new pace of work. And with that comes the need to grow our professional development. So I would love to know, how are you investing in your own growth? What are you doing? Are you reading, listening to podcasts, blogs? Obviously, conferences are not really a big thing right now, but how do you make sure to pour into yourself?
That's really a good question. It's been a challenge. Quite honestly, I am trying to attend as many things I can as online for our profession, whether it's through Consulting Connect or our other associations. I have been listening to some podcasts because I've been doing a little bit of driving back and forth. I have a daughter in college, so there's some time on the road to fill your ears with some good information. And I'm not a huge reader. I'd rather listen to a podcast, to be honest. So I couldn't recommend any books. Like, this one's great for me because it's just not my bag.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. What's doesn't have to be industry related, but wasn't it one of your favorite podcasts to listen to?
Oh, wow.
Besides this one, of course.
Oh, well, yeah, this one is the best podcast. No, I am kind of hooked on these murder mystery type of things that one does. I, you know, Dr. Death and Dirty John. And I think I just listened to The Shrink Next Door. So yes, it has nothing to do with their profession, but it's highly entertaining and engages my mind and gives me a break from the grind of every day.
Well, and I think part of professional growth is knowing when you need a break and when you need to unplug, and not everything we consume has to be aimed at fulfilling this growth goal, because sometimes unplugging is the best step into that personal growth, because it keeps your life balance nice and balanced. So Carolyn, I am so glad you were here with us today. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your insights. And I'm so glad that you are doing what you do, that you are working so hard for the Lubbock community and, you know, sparking innovation and conversation and dialogue around making communities better. And congratulations. And you are so deserving of this top 50 honor.
Thank you so much, Bay. I appreciate it.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.